Is your family a success?
Is there even a measure for family success?
We think there is. And with a 20-year track record of success, we're going to show you how to bless your family with success in your health, relationships, and finances. I'm Steve Keen.
And I'm Katie Keen. And along with some awesome guests, we are going to give you our secrets to family success. Welcome to Family Success Secrets. Welcome to our new episode, everybody. Today, I am absolutely thrilled to introduce you to someone who has been very important in my life and in my healing journey, Dr. Tori Thompson. She is known around the world as a leading functional medicine practitioner that solves some of the toughest client cases. This passion to help others stems from her own health struggles. For nearly a decade, she visited over 20 doctors looking for the cause for her own strange symptoms and trying to find a solution to help her heal and get her life back. After years of failed traditional medical treatments and several incorrect diagnoses, she finally took her health in her own hands and discovered that she had Lyme disease. She successfully used holistic medicine approaches that included dietary modifications, supplementation, and lifestyle changes to help her finally regain her health. She now specializes in helping people find the root cause of their symptoms that have stumped other practitioners. She has helped find answers for clients with mold sickness, Lyme's disease, gut infections, autoimmune diseases, fibromyalgia, depression, anxiety, chronic fatigue, hormone imbalance, infertility, and so many more. Dr. Tori believes that when toxins and infections are removed and mindset is addressed, the body can heal itself. Tori, thank you for being willing to come on our program today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
So I spent quite a bit of time learning from you over the last year and a half, and it has made a huge difference for me. So tell us more about how did you get here where you're helping people who really need it?
Yeah, I got here how most of the people in this industry did, and it was from being so sick and nobody being able to help. I got sick when I was around 12, 13 years old, and nobody could figure it out. I had been diagnosed with brain tumors that couldn't be found on X-ray, crazy autoimmune diseases that affect, you know, 10 people in the country, and things that they would just call it idiopathic, or we don't really know what's wrong with you, but here's some medication. And luckily, my parents, you know, stood behind me and they wouldn't take that. And so we kept searching and searching. And finally, I stumbled upon what food could do. And no doctor had ever told me, hey, pull gluten out or pull dairy out. I started there. I started with food. And then that led me to finding herbs and finding different supplements and, you know, supporting my body. And then as I got into school, I was able to take what I was learning in school and figure out that I had Lyme disease. And so it was a long, long, long journey for me. But like, you know, most functional medicine doctors will say, it was so worth it because now I'm able to take my personal experience along with my clinical knowledge and help other people. So hopefully they never have to go down that long road of misdiagnoses or being told you're crazy and there's nothing wrong, which so many people unfortunately hear.
I have heard that myself in our journey for helping our kids.
Yeah. And in fact, the first time we ever found a functional medicine doctor, that his words were almost like yours. It's like, yeah, normally they go through 10, 15, 20 different doctors going from the generalist to the specialist. And finally, after no success with any of the above, they happened to find a functional medicine doctor. And he said that it happens. I mean, you got the feeling that that's almost how it always happens, is that you've gone through everything in the world with no resolution until finally you get to that point. And then it's like spotlight, aha moment.
Absolutely. And most people, by the time they get to me or another functional medicine doctor, like you mentioned, they're so desperate and you're their last hope. They're like, you can't figure it out, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's heartbreaking because, you know, the answers are so simple. You know, I say simple loosely, but it's looking for things that have affected people's health and cause all these weird symptoms. But, you know, it's so frustrating and so hard to be a patient. And it's so frustrating to be a practitioner now and see it, because I've watched people and they come and they're struggling. They're so, you know, they're at their wit's end. And then we just run some labs and find some answers. And it's like, oh my gosh, there it is.
That's how it was for me when I found you, because I had been misdiagnosed as having Lyme. nobody had ever mentioned mold.
But we had gone through all kinds of stuff until we were getting to the point where they were like, you've got to go see this kind of person. This is the kind of person when everyone else fails, they send it to this. And instead of finding and going to that person, we found the functional medicine doctor, and he said, count your blessings that you didn't go to the next specialist they had in line for you, because they will give you something or they will do something that could potentially hurt you very badly. And it's like a shot in the dark, because if no one can figure it out, you kind of go to this last one as that last desperation move. And then if they're guessing, then, you know, you can be hurt by that. And so finding functional medicine, we were thrilled because the approaches were so safe and gentle compared to anything else that had been proposed up to that point. And like you said, you know, we got a lot who said, this is in your head, right? And then we had a lot who said, oh, you know, it could be this, and this is very bad. And they had no clinical proof that it was that at all.
Yeah.
So kind of scary.
That's one of the scariest things is they'll put in, you know, I hear it all the time, and this was offered to me many times. We'll run you through 3 weeks of hardcore antibiotics because we'll just kill anything that maybe is there. Maybe you have an infection that we can't find. What that does is I remember very, very vividly asking, what is that going to do to my body? I was young. I was a teenager. What is that going to do to my body long term? And the doctor just looked me straight in the eyes and she goes, well, your immune system will never be the same. And I said, yeah, no, we're not doing that. But unfortunately, a lot of people, they hear someone says, let's do antibiotics. And they go, okay, well, this person knows more than I do. So we should do it. Where if, you know, we go into the functional medicine realm, really you supplements and herbs, they're so safe and they're so gentle. It's so rare that you have an herb or a supplement that can actually cause danger to someone. And it's usually in excessive amounts that no practitioner would ever recommend. And so I wish that it was more mainstream, because why not try the gentle, safe routes before going into the medical route? And there are times that medication is absolutely necessary to save someone's life in very small instances. But I do stand by that for certain, you know, if someone's in a red zone or it's needed to literally keep them alive, I'm all for it. But it's also, you know, let's try these safer routes first and see, and they're so effective. And now we finally have the research that shows that there is a doctor and I believe he's in New York, and he did a study on certain herbs. There was a Lyme study, certain herbs and their efficacy versus antibiotics. And this is one of the very first studies we have that shows that the herbs are actually as effective, if not more effective, at killing these critters. And of course, they're in petri dishes and whatnot. So now we have the studies that show how, you know, how accurate and how good these herbs are at killing these critters that we're trying to get out of people's bodies.
So for those in the audience who haven't possibly understood before what the difference is between a typical, conventional doctor we might go to and functional medicine, would you clarify that? Because it's something that took me a long time to learn. And I even know medical professionals who aren't familiar with functional medicine.
Absolutely. So you'll hear us talk about like allopathic medicine versus functional. Allopathic is our Western model, right? You go to the doctor with a symptom and they'll either give you a prescription or send you to a specialist. They're essentially addressing it as a fire comes in, they deal with it. Functional medicine looks at it from a different angle. We're trying to find the root cause of something. So we look at everything as a symptom. That's the body telling us that something is wrong. And we try to figure out what the body is trying to tell us is wrong, why that's happening. And then we look at the body as one unit, right? We don't look at the thyroid as, oh, I just specialize in thyroids. I'm not going to look at anywhere else. Functional medicine connects the entire body because we know that the body is all connected. So we're looking at things earlier to prevent them, looking for the root cause of why that's happening, and then really connecting everything as a whole. And then we are not, in general, using any medication. It's generally food, dietary changes, it's supplementation, so that's vitamins, that's herbs, and then it's lifestyle changes, it's stress, it's sleep, it's mindset, it's all of that. So we're really looking at the body from many angles as opposed to just one.
And so how do you determine what things are needed? Do you test for those, or are like the symptoms written on their face, or... you do tests that are different than your standard practice, or are they same? Absolutely. Or what makes them different or unique?
We use functional tests. And so these tests are looking for different things. So we'll run blood just like a normal allopathic immunomedical doctor will, but then we're going to do tests that are going to look for some of these causes of people's health issues. And that's looking for environmental toxins, things that are in our water, in our air, things that are in our cleaning products. We're going to look for heavy metals. We're going to look for molds. We're going to look for infections. And when we talk about infections, we're talking about either bacteria, fungus, or parasitic infections that are in the gut and have gotten our gut out of balance. We're going to look for all of our biochemical pathways. Are the engines of our body running? We can look at the chemicals in our brain, our neurotransmitters. We'll look at those. So we're looking at much deeper things than a standard doctor is just going to look for blood. We're running usually bigger blood panels, but then running some of these other tests that give us the reason why someone's body would be, showing a symptom.
I've loved the tests because in our past with myself and my children, oftentimes the blood work just can't show what's actually happening, especially if it's something complicated or unusual to an allopathic doctor. And so that was something that once I found you, it was so nice because you were able to say, oh, you were diagnosed with Lyme? Let's double check. And I was only diagnosed by symptoms. No one had done a test, and you ran a test and you ran the mold test. And it was amazing because suddenly we figured out what was the real problem and we were able to start to actually tackle the real problem for once. And similar things have happened with our son and our children. And it's how we've managed to make progress. And it's neat because for our experience, we've used a mixture of the typical labs and sent those like to our children's functional doctors who then run their own. And the pairing of them gives this amazing big picture.
A story, really.
Yes.
And you can watch the changes in the body. But mm-hmm. I think, functional medicine in the past used to be very like people call it woo-woo, or they would say that there was no science behind it. But now we have the labs to actually justify what we're saying. And that generally for someone that's been told they're crazy or that it's all in their head or there's nothing wrong with them, seeing that on that piece of paper, that mold or that parasite or whatever it may be, is like the best feeling in the whole world because now you have an answer and then you can see it. It's not just that I think you have, or it could be this. It's you have this mold that's 10 times the limit, or you have this toxin that's, 30 times the testable limit. And so it gives you a very subjective and very, it's matter of fact, it's there or it's not there, which to me, being a very science-minded person, is very helpful because now you can, when someone says, well, you guys have nothing, to stand on, it's all woo-woo or it's, kind of crazy stuff. You go, well, look at these labs. I can actually show you what's in someone's body. It's really cool.
Yeah. And it's becoming, thankfully, more accepted in some ways, because for our family, for example, our insurance actually finally covers the organic acids test from a specific lab. And it's so nice because that means that doctors who may not know about it, but I can talk to them about it now and say, oh yeah, my insurance covers it. For some reason, that's like a trigger to them to suddenly have validation.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'll take it. I'll take it all day long. I have a friend that's an MD and it's very similar. We talk about it and he's always like, you're crazy. But then he would hear about the turnarounds I would see in my patients. And mm-hmm. finally he was like, there's something to what you're doing because you're seeing turnarounds that I'm not, and you're not using any medication. And now it's the same thing. He goes, yeah, they're covering, insurance is covering that. So I think I'm going to start running those tests. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I mean, it was absolutely bonkers that an insurance and military medicine never would cover chiropractic care. It was like quackery.
Yeah.
It wasn't crack. It was quackery. And I remember because I was sitting on a curb next to the medical officer at our command, and we were getting ready for morning physical training. Right. And so I was talking to him about the wonderful results that Katie had had when we lived in America with a chiropractor and how it healed the scoliosis over the course of a few months. Nothing intrusive. And he was like, dude, if I can't fix it with a pill or with a scalpel, it's not medicine. And I was like floored because I had seen the before and the after x-rays of her spine. Yep. I mean, even a guy like me can look at that and say, well, it's not crooked where it used to be crooked.
Yeah,
and,
you can't argue it. It's
right.
It's
I mean, it's like in front of your face. But that was the statement, is that, and you know, and the Navy never had a chiropractor on any of its medical bases or any of its bases or any of its hospitals, medical facilities, and military insurance would not cover it. Right. Even though it was preventive care. And for years, they had told Katie that she needed surgery. You're just going to have surgery. You're going to have surgery. Chiropractor fixed it in the course of 3 months.
It was very short. Yeah.
3 months.
Yeah. And the pain went away. And then finally, years later, when we were closer to retiring, it was finally covered for active duty, at least. But still to this day, not for family. And it's such a preventative, and it could save so much money and so much pain. And but they don't. It's so surprising.
Well, that's probably the very good benefit of functional medicine, is that once, let's say, you have your problem resolved, you've now built into your lifestyle healthier habits that will function as preventative medicine or efforts to keep you from either going back to that, or it prevents something else that you probably would have had you not changed course.
Absolutely. And what I love is that, you know, once someone's gone through a health struggle, generally speaking, they will never let that happen again. And they understand, I need to eat this way, and there's certain things I need to do to stay healthy. But they also start preaching about what people are putting in their bodies, and maybe you should start taking these supplements. And so we have this little like army that spreads information, because a lot of people just have no idea. They have no clue that what you're eating can cause you to be brain foggy or your memory. And so it's like, I love when I'll hear, like, I'll get down the chain of someone's like, I heard from this person who heard from this person that you said this. And that's my favorite thing, because it's, you know, a lot of people, they don't know what they don't know. And we've been taught since, you know, young age that you go to the doctor when you're sick, you take what they give you, you don't question it. And that's really how it is. And so now this model's starting to push it. It's starting to question that. And I love it, because it's allowing people to be their own advocates for their health, you know, and unfortunately, many people have to get to losing their health to get there. But it's starting to get people to question the system and be like, hey, what about food? How does that correlate to this? Or what if I try this holistic thing first, and then I come back, and if that doesn't work, then I'll try surgery. And it's cool watching that change happen, because it's been a slow progression, but now I feel like we're finally picking up steam.
Yeah, there's definitely a humongous mindset shift finally. And I almost think in the last year and a half, I personally have seen even more people becoming aware than were before. There's also some that have entrenched more in resistance to anything alternative, but it seems that the mindsets on the whole are opening, and that's been really exciting.
It is, because now we're not fighting tooth and nail. You know, people are like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah, if I, you know, have more nutrients, that gives my body some more. And so you're starting to see people's mindsets opening, and that's huge. It's like the way I think we're going to get the, you know, the system to change, hopefully for good.
Yeah, I really hope so too. And when I look at the difference in prognosis for our children, for example, and their outcome, because of what we were willing to do, like you said, we were willing to advocate for them. I was not willing to ever just believe a worst case scenario. We did the research. We reached out. If something didn't feel like it was right, we listened to that intuition. And because there has been more and more of this information available, thankfully, online and through other people starting to talk about it, that has made a massive difference in our family. And it is so important that families understand that they need to advocate for themselves still.
Absolutely. And I even tell people when I'm sitting with a new patient and I'm going over what I see in the labs, I tell them, don't take what I'm saying as gold either. I want you to research what I just told you. And I want you to, you know, be your own advocate. Don't take what anyone says as the only way or the, you know, the 100% right way. That's, I think people, you know, they get, this person said this, so I have to do it. But be your own advocate, fight for your health. I think that's one of the biggest lessons that can be learned from, you know, either losing your health or watching someone suffer with poor health, or however it may come about for someone.
One of the big things that I really learned through working with you was that I needed to practice tuning into what my body was saying to me, because it's so easy, even with all my experience I'd had and, you know, everything I'd done with my children, it's so easy to get lost in how busy we are I was very busy focusing on how my children were doing. I wasn't necessarily focusing on how I was doing as much, not intuitively. And I noticed that that's such an important piece that that's not taught, not even always in other functional medicine practices. It's hit or miss. Yeah. And so I hope people will be aware that even if you find an amazing doctor who you're starting to get results with, but if you stop, just keep looking, go to another one. They may have another piece that you need to complete your puzzle.
Exactly. And that's truly what it is it's a puzzle. And sometimes, you know, I look at all the practitioners I worked with when I was sick. A lot of them gave me little nuggets, right? And I'm talking holistic practitioners, not allopathic, but the holistic ones. They would give me little nuggets that would get me to the next one. And so, you know, I always tell people the same thing working with me. If something doesn't sit right with you, you know, go find someone that does. You know, there's a million amazing practitioners out there. There's so many brilliant minds that have different angles and different perspectives and see things slightly different. And functional medicine is kind of like an art form. There's, you know, standard things that we all do, but then there's different ways we all go about it. And so, you know, tune into your body. And if all of a sudden you're like, you know, I don't think I'm getting the results here that I could be, it's okay to go find someone else and they'll give you, you know, another piece of your puzzle. So it doesn't have to be a one person solves everything. I hope that's the case, but it isn't always like that.
So if someone's saying, oh my gosh, I've never thought about listening to my body, like what would you tell them? Where would they start?
That is one of the things that is so hard to teach someone. It is so hard because everyone's slightly different. But one of the things, and I had to learn to do this because I very much disassociated when I was sick. My body was in so much pain. I had to learn to not listen to it because I would have been miserable. And so when I was relearning, what I would do is I would lay in bed and I would just check in. I would just kind of pay attention to what I could feel, what was light, what felt heavy, just starting to notice sensation in your body. And then I would journal it. And I would just journal it and kind of let it be and start with baby bites, right? And then I would notice, okay, I would pay attention after I ate something. How did that feel? How did my energy feel? And just start taking notice of little things in your body. And then from there, as you practice that, you get really good at finding things. And once someone has been doing it for a while, the second something's slightly off, they can pick up on it. And so you get really in tune with your body and your body is always talking to you. Your body is always giving you signs that you're okay or something needs to change. A lot of times we just have turned down the dial because we had to push through. But once you get in tune with it, know that a sign of something doesn't feel right is just your body's way of telling you, let's change something. Maybe that food that you ate, let's not eat that again. Or maybe we didn't get enough sleep. And so it's just really paying attention to it. But it can be I remember laying in bed and starting at my toes and scanning up my body and going, okay, how do my shins feel? How do my calves feel? And just going and having to do it like step by step by step. And then now I'm to the point where I can quickly, if something doesn't feel right, I'll quickly kind of pay attention and be like, okay, it's this, this, and this. So it's just a learning thing, but be graceful with yourself. It's not going to be an overnight switch. None of this is. With diet, with listening to your body, with, you know, exercise, be graceful on yourself and know that it takes time to make changes and it takes time to get in tune with it. You know, it's a learning curve. There's no, okay, tomorrow is going to be perfect. And then it's perfect from every day on. Be graceful. That's the best advice I can give you because it's a journey. It really is.
I think something too that you said that stands out is writing it down because it's so easy to forget, especially when we're feeling better. It's easy to forget where we were and then to think we didn't make any progress.
I actually did this. I went back the other day and I read a journal. I was cleaning out a closet and I found journals from years and years and years ago. And I know my past and I know my big symptoms, but to read the day to day was so eye-opening because you forget it. Your brain kind of selectively forgets that. It's not something you want to remember. And to go back and be able to read it was so eye-opening. And you can't help but be proud of yourself and go, wow, look what I overcame. This is incredible. And I think it's great in the process because all healing takes time. There's no supplement or diet that tomorrow you're going to wake up and feel 100%. It just doesn't work that way. So as you're 3 months in or 6 months in, to be able to go back and see where you were a month ago or 2 months ago is amazing because you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot that I had bloating all the time and my headaches were a 10 out of 10. And now they're a 4 out of 10. So that progress, to be able to track it and read it, is so helpful.
I wonder, like, if you're really in tune with how you are, what happens when you experience seasonal variations or changes in pressure and stuff like that? Do you think, oh, that's not my body talking to me? I have to pay attention to something now that's external. Mm-hmm. Can you get that in tune?
Yes. And it's interesting because what I'll do is I'll check in. And I mean, it's going to sound kind of crazy that I do this, but I'll check in and I'll go, is this mine? Or is this something outside that's affecting me, right? Because we know that with the change in weather, with a change in, you know, even like the moon, where the moon is in the cycle, things shift, brain chemistry shifts, pressure changes, gravity changes. So that is going to affect your body. So when you do get very in tune, you have to go, okay. And I hear this a lot in my world, is around the full moon, people's symptoms get wild. And it's mostly because we see a lot of these critters, where I'm talking about parasites and bacteria and molds, they flare up around the full moon. And so people have to go, okay, is this me? Is there something wrong? Or is it, oh, it's the full moon. So you kind of get used to it. Oh, it's allergy time. Or, oh, it's, you know, I noticed this shift in the weather. I'm feeling this. I will say, though, as you do get healthier, less and less affects you. You just tend to be like, you see it in other people. So like seasonal allergies, a thing of the past, you know, all of that stuff tends to go away. You just notice it. Oh, I can tell that other people are going to start feeling this way because I can feel it on my own body.
And similarly, if you are physically fit, you're probably going to be far more resistant as well, because now your body is operating in a more optimal condition.
Absolutely. Yeah, I always joke, the only thing is I have an old injury, and that old injury, I can feel like it'll flare up at certain times, certain, you know, weather patterns will flare it. Not much I can do on that. But beyond that, you know, it's really the healthier you are, the less it affects you. You become very resilient to shifts in weather, to whether it's cold and flu season or whatever it may be. You become very resistant to that, where most of the time you don't even notice. There might be a shift internally, but it's so subtle, you don't notice it.
So I have a question for you, because a lot of people listening, probably, unless they heard our episodes with Michael Rubino about mold in their home, probably don't think about mold as being something that could cause illness.
You know, mold in your body.
Right. Mold in your body.
Distinguishes this quite a lot from the episode we did with Michael.
Typically, though, coming from where we live or where we travel or what we eat, that kind of thing. So what would you say to someone who's listening to this and going, oh my gosh, like I have all these mystery symptoms. Could it be mold? What do I do?
Yeah, mold is so common. I wish it wasn't that way, but it's so common because most people have lived in a house that has had a leak or a bathtub overflow or some sort of water damage. A lot of people work in older buildings. And all of these, you know, these water damaged molds, they go into our body and they don't go anywhere. So you breathe in these mold spores and then they take up residence in the body, whether it's in your sinuses, in your gut, and then they wreak havoc on a lot of the biochemistry. So a lot of times people's symptoms don't make sense. It can be things like depression, anxiety, brain fog, which can be, you know, memory recall issues. You walk in a room, you don't know why you walked in there. It can just be that your brain fires a little slower than it used to, poor vision, ringing in your ears, bloating, constipation, and it tends to be multiple of those. And so it's one of those things that if things don't make sense, I always test for mold, because the immune system, once it gets into the body, the immune system doesn't really recognize it as a problem. And so it tends to live in there. And so I've seen people that have had mold in their body for 30 years. And it, you know, it's been an issue and it keeps getting worse and worse. And then I've seen people that within, you know, a month of getting molded in their house are having severe symptoms. And so you don't have to see mold in your house to have it. I can't tell you how many people are like, I live in a new house. There's no way there's mold. And then they'll do a mold test and they'll find, you know, in their house that it's behind a wall, behind a baseboard, under a cabinet. So you don't have to have seen mold. And it can be, you know, it's one of those stealth things that you could have gone on vacation. And how many times you walk into a room in a tropical place and you smell that mustiness? That's mold. So, you know, if it doesn't make sense, look into mold. It can wreak havoc, especially, you know, adults, we see it a lot in mood and personality and energy. But in kids, we see it in ADD, ADHD, learning disorders, dyslexia. So, you know, even in kids, it can affect them. And it's a huge driver of a lot of symptoms.
Yeah. For our son, we even had neurological tics. And when we began reducing his mold, his neurological tics completely left. And his allergy symptoms, which were horrible with every season change, like really bad bloody noses and constant sneezing. And his allergist said, I wish I could just put you in a bubble. They disappeared. So it's amazing what things can happen just by knowing this is a problem that can be triggering all these other things.
Absolutely. And it's just not looked for. But once you find it, mold, I will say, is very slow. And you can attest to how slow it is to come out of the body. It takes a long, long, long time. And a decently, moldy body, you're looking at like 6 to 8 months. And so you have to be patient with it. I see people and they're like, it's been a month. Why am I not feeling better? And you're like, well, you've probably had this mold in your body for a very long time. And the body, especially in the functional medicine realm, when you use supplements that are very gentle, the body's going to let go of it at a safe pace. Because if the body let go of all the mold that was in it, generally speaking, you would watch people's symptoms get 10 times worse because it's so toxic. So the body lets go of it at a safe pace so that it's not so drastic and jarring to the body, but be patient with it. It takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It's like your own body knows how to help you not crash,
yeah.
Right? Because sure, you want to get it out, but if you go to try and dump it all at once, then you'll suffer terribly. And I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that there's no pharmaceutical. Like if you go to the conventional doctor, they're not going to test for mold. And even if they were able to be convinced that you had mold exposure and had mold internally, right? Mold had been creeped into your body through whatever mechanism, they don't have a means to get it out of you, to help you get it out. There's nothing you can go to the pharmacy for.
They can use, I've heard and I've seen it not done successfully, but they have used antifungals in people because mold is a fungus. But one of the key components of mold that actually just fascinates me, I find this piece just so interesting. These organisms are so intelligent and they're so good at what they do. Mold creates what's called biofilm. And biofilm is slime. Like if you pick up a rock in a stream, it's that slimy stuff on the top. What biofilm does is it protects mold from the environment. Or that in that case, it's the bacteria from the water. But in our gut, mold is protected from our environment or its immune system and everything that would kill it. It's protected by biofilm. When you use antibiotics or antifungals, it's not necessarily getting rid of the biofilm. And so sometimes that, you can use an antifungal. And again, I've never really seen this done successfully in my experience. And I don't use antifungals. It's not addressing the biofilm. So then the mold will just, you didn't kill it. So I think they'll look at it. It's very rare that they will even address mold from a normal Western medicine perspective. But when I have seen it, these antifungals are very, very strong. And I've seen it in two different patients and both of them, their symptoms got 10 times worse. And it was because they blasted them with antifungals and they're like, we'll just kill it really quick. But when they did that, they, kind of opened the floodgates. And then we had to go in with supplements and really try to mitigate the situation. But again, I don't have a ton of experience seeing antifungals used and what I have seen not done successfully.
Right. So the big takeaway here is that there are things that you can buy without a prescription that are far safer, more effective and gentle on your body. It will allow your body to process that mold out in a safe way. It takes longer, but it's worth the wait.
Absolutely.
Do it right.
Absolutely. And it's also understanding too that when you're going to get something out of the body, one of the steps that's so heavily missed is making sure that the body actually has what it needs to get the mold out. And so when you look at that, the organs that are going to be responsible for doing that are the liver, the kidneys, the gallbladder, your lymphatic system, right? Those organs take something and they get it out of the body. Well, a lot of people, those organs are stressed beyond belief because their bodies are so toxic and they don't have the actual cofactors needed to make those engines run. So then a lot of times people will go and they'll take something, whether it's a supplement or a prescription, and they'll try to push the mold out and detox it, but their organs that detox can't deal with it. And so it's really working with someone that understands the steps that need to be taken to get these toxins out of the body in a safe manner so that it doesn't stress your body out too much. Because that's one of the things people do all the time is they'll try to detox, I'm going to detox my mold. And they'll go take some binders or something they read on the internet, but they've forgotten the other steps. And then they're also going to feel it very similar to the patients I saw that did the antifungals. They felt it significantly worse as well. And so it's just understanding that, you know, these organisms are complex. So find someone to work with that understands it and can go, okay, this is step one. We're going to support your body. Step two, we're going to gently start to pull out these organisms. Step three, and they can give you that layout so that you know your body is not overly taxed, overly stressed, and is able to move toxins effectively.
So a multi-layered or multifaceted approach with no single thing working by itself.
Absolutely.
It's going to take a lot of things working synergistically to get the effect that you need.
There's generally, you have to look at it from so many angles, right? And so usually when someone has mold, the mold has affected a lot of their, you know, pathways that are driving different processes. So supporting what's not functioning optimally so that you can detox as optimal as possible.
That makes great sense. So I know if somebody is like sitting there going, oh my gosh, I had a mold problem. We had it remediated. I still don't feel good. I want to start doing something today that's not going to hurt me. Would you suggest maybe them starting with just removing moldy foods? Or what would you say would be a safe step until they find a practitioner who can help them understand the proper path?
Absolutely. So I would say starting pulling moldy foods is huge. You know, those are generally not the actual cause of someone's mold, but if you have a fire lit, those are like gasoline to the fire. So it's pulling things like cashews and peanuts, grains. Those tend to be the moldiest of foods, right? Cheese. And then from there, I would also go a little further with diet. And I really push anti-inflammatory diets. We want to pull out foods that are adding inflammation or gasoline to that fire. And so the biggies, like bare minimum, is pulling out gluten, pulling out dairy, pulling out processed sugar. Those three things right there are very, very helpful in lowering your inflammation so that your body can have, basically can kind of get its bearings and try to help you out. Gluten is one of the biggest inflammatory foods there is. Sugar is going to feed these organisms, feed the mold. And so we don't want to give them anything extra to eat. And then dairy is also just very, very inflammatory for many people's guts, especially when they have things going on. So focus on lots of vegetables, lots of color, focus on greens and all of those pretty colors. With those colors comes vitamins, comes minerals. So try to get as much color as you can, you know, clean protein and lots of healthy fats. And eating healthy does not have to be boring by any means. I mean, we do in our house the funnest things. You know, we had almond flour chicken fingers with sweet potato fries the other night. And so like, even with kids, there's, you know, you can make everything that they like that's, you know, unhealthy. You can make it into a healthy thing using anti-inflammatory foods. So start with diet. That was where I started. That's where I have every one of my patients start. And I think that'll get you a good way there, just helping lower inflammation.
Yes. And you are so right. It does not have to be boring. We committed a long time ago with our kids that even though we were making a dramatic diet shift, because we had all sorts of reasons that we needed to, that were medical, that we were still going to eat really good food. We would just figure out how to do it with whole ingredients the way maybe it was made before things were packaged or processed, you know, and it's been a fun journey. We've enjoyed it. Now our kids are proficient at cooking as well.
Yeah. And it's so cool. So I love like going to a potluck and taking something that would be unhealthy, but we've made it healthier, and watching people that don't eat the way that I eat, watching them go, oh my gosh, this is so good. It's my favorite thing. And then you tell them, oh, that's gluten-free and dairy-free and sugar-free and all the things. And they're like, no way. It's so cool to see that, because now you're opening other people's perspective to how good it can taste to eat healthy. And then like, it's cool watching, you know, getting the kids in the kitchen and then them getting all excited. I was babysitting a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they were adorable. They're my cousin's kids. And they were like, oh, are we going to do the gluten-free cookies? Can we make the gluten-free cookies? And it's so fun because they don't know what that is. But they were so excited to help, and they know that I eat gluten-free cookies, and that's what they were going to eat. And so it's so fun watching it, you know, with kids, and then they take it home. And my cousin was like, yeah, Savannah keeps asking for the gluten-free cookies. What did you give her? So it's fun watching it grow. And, you know, kids love it. It's awesome.
It really is. And when we can set that mindset early on in life, that healthy doesn't mean bad. It doesn't mean it doesn't taste good. It doesn't mean you lose the fun. When they can understand that healthy nourishes our cells, it lets us have a better life, we feel better, and it can taste good, then it sets patterns for the rest of their life and for generations, because they'll carry that down into their children and their children's children. And it really matters that we help them understand early.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's getting people, you know, the more people we get on board and the more, you know, healthy kids, the better off the next generation and the next generation is going to be. And I'm excited because it's, you know, I think my generation was kind of the cusp of like the really processed food generation. And my younger sister was heavily, heavily in that. But now it's starting to see it shift. I see many of my friends are doing it with their kids where their kids, they're cooking. And it's like, I'm excited to see, you know, where the processed food industry is in 30, 40 years, because if we keep growing, you know, keep growing kids that are into health, there really won't be a need for all that overly processed stuff.
Yeah, it is interesting to note that Katie and I are both from families of four, and between those eight kids, not one had an allergy to food of any sort. But now all of those have their own families, and almost every one of that second generation has a food allergy of some sort.
And look at
unreal.
You could probably correlate that directly to processed foods, all of the shifts in genetically modified foods and all of that. And so it's really, I was talking to my dad about this the other day. Nobody used to have peanut allergies. Nobody used to have all these crazy allergies that we're seeing now, but now it's almost every kid has an allergy to something. And so it's as people learn, you know, oh, if I take care of my gut and I eat clean, my allergies go away. It's really, you know, it's starting to, I'm hoping that maybe in two, you know, next generation or the following, we'll start to see a decline in food allergies and all of these weird, you know, allergic responses to things.
Absolutely. Me too. So if you were to say to our audience who's listening, like, what would be a tip they could implement today at home if they just want to really increase their family success in whatever way you think would be a great first step?
Oh, there's so many things. A great first step. Food, we talked about that, definitely number one, and getting the kids involved. But a step that I think is so cool to watch is practicing gratitude, and practicing gratitude as a family. Every day, everyone going around and, you know, saying five things that they're grateful for. And on days that are tougher, it's hard to come up with five things. Other days, you can name off 25 things. And, you know, really bringing that sense of gratitude daily is one of the biggest game changers in health that I've seen and I've watched. So bringing that in as a family practice, maybe as you're eating dinner, what is everyone grateful for today? And, you know, it's cool to see what other people are grateful for. And sometimes it's a reminder of like, oh my gosh, how did I forget that? How am I not, you know, grateful for that? So that would be my tip, is bringing in gratitude with the entire family.
I love that. And it has medical background, honestly, a connection, because you're going to lower cortisol. You're going to increase endorphins. I mean, there's so many amazing physiological pieces to what sounds so simple. And
absolutely. It is. It's one of those things. And people don't think that those little changes make a difference, but every little change you make is taking you a step further. A step further. And so I encourage you to, you know, start with the little things, and gratitude feels little. It's a huge change and it shifts your entire mindset, but start there. And it's those baby steps that when you look back, you know, a month from now or 10 months from now or 2 years from now, time is going on, no matter if you make changes or you don't. And so start small. There's nothing that's too small. And, you know, you'll look back and be like, wow, look how far we've come.
Awesome. I think that should be another thing we write down, not just our symptoms. We should write down the gratitudes. Imagine having a gift like that to show your children years in, you know, look at all the things we've been thankful for years.
They're quite a good thing to teach to your children.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's really fun.
So I know people are going to be wanting to know how to find you. Would you please tell them, where can they find you if they'd like more info on anything that you can provide? Because you do have a practice and you do take clients and you are amazing. I will personally attest to that. So
thank you.
How can they find you?
you can find me through my practice. It's drtorythompson.com. And then you can also find me on social media. It's Dr. Tori Thompson on Instagram and Facebook. And reach out to me. My email is on my website. It's also on Instagram. If you have questions, reach out to me. I am happy to help. If I can't, I know who I can point you in a direction to. But, you know, feel free to reach out and say hi. And I'm happy to help answer any questions or anything that you guys may need.
Thank you so much for sharing your time, your wisdom, and your passion with our audience.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening and spending time with us today. If you know anyone who could benefit from this podcast, we would be honored if you would share it. Please rate, review, subscribe, and download.
Head over to podcast.familysuccesssecrets.com to have a top-rated family success secret sent straight to your inbox. We look forward to spending time with you again next week during our next episode. See you then.
Bye, everyone.